Praise the Lord. Glad to be here today with you. Amen. Power of God is already here. Amen. Yeah, excuse me, I still use paper. I've been mugged too many times by my tablets and laptops. One of these days I'll get one that I can trust. Praise God. But God is good. I appreciate Pastor Josh inviting me. I did not tell him, but 2 weeks before he invited me, in a dream, God showed me that he's getting ready to invite me to minister. And God showed me exactly what to minister when it happened. And since then, I've been about ready to bust. But that message just flowed out. Some of the little bit in the prayer meetings coming out. Amen. But then he called and invited me. I said, oh, I'll be glad to. Or actually, he texted me. I said, I'll be glad to. But God is good. And we want his perfect will here today. Amen. They said I had to close by 2, I think. No, I'm just kidding. Amen. Don't worry. I'll try to stay within the color between the lines, but if not, I'll dismiss you and us and the Holy Spirit to keep going afterwards. Amen. Praise God. I always like to start on time and end when the Lord does. Praise God. But God is good. And I appreciate those that have been in the School of Supernatural. We have some here today with us that are already working in the supernatural, in miracles, signs, and wonders. And not only from here, but people all over the world. It's on my YouTube channel. You can go to my website, easy way to find it, riveroflifeworldmission.com. Click Faith YouTube videos. And we have 30 on there. And in every one of them, there's nuggets that will help bring you into a supernatural dimension. It's not just information. There's a special anointing on it that people that begin to listen to that and see it begin to operate in great power. Praise God. That's my heart, is to give everything I have away and you get more. Start where I give it to you and you go further. Amen. If Elijah and Elisha, that concept of that mantle being passed. Amen. We should be passing mantles, the sons and daughters in the gospel, and they should start where we end it and climb from there, not have to start from scratch every time, which has been the case in most of Christianity in our modern day. So God is good. We're praying for the doors to open up, to get back overseas. Right now, the countries I'm working in, we've been on 39 mission trips. Etc. The countries I'm working in are closed down tight right now. Some not only have the COVID, they have floods to go with it. I'm just trying to wash it away. So if you would, go to Jeremiah chapter 1. Also, let me say about that song that they just sang last. I don't know if any of the music people around, but if it's possible, about as well with my soul, it's possible to even at the end of this play it again. If possible, amen. I know right now things are tight. People are working many, wearing many hats. So Jeremiah chapter 1, verse 4. The word of the Lord came to me saying, before I formed you in the womb, I knew you. Before you were born, I sanctified you. I ordained you a prophet to the nations. Then said I, ah, Lord God, behold, I cannot speak, for I am a youth. But the Lord said to me, do not say I am a youth, for you shall go to all to whom I send you, and whatever I command you, you shall speak. Do not be afraid of their faces, for I am with you to deliver you, says the Lord. Then the Lord, notice his next part, verse 9, then the Lord put forth his hand and touched my mouth. And the Lord said to me, behold, I have put my words in your mouth. See that I have this day set you over nations, over kingdoms, to root out and to pull down, to destroy and to throw down. And let me just point out, a lot of times you cannot build until things are rooted out, pulled down, destroyed, and thrown down. Amen. That sometimes things have to leave before the new is put in. Jesus said we cannot put new wine in old bottles. And so let me explain this, that God told Jeremiah, before you're even in your mother's womb, and if you're not watched my video on Substance for a Time, you should do so. It will help you understand this better. But he said, before you even in your mother's womb, I knew you, ordained you a prophet to the nations. And all of a sudden, Jeremiah said, Lord, I feel like a child. And the thing is, that's where God had to put Jeremiah. He had to bring him low. To Jeremiah felt like, I'm really nothing at all. I feel like a little child now. And God said, that's just where I need you, Jeremiah. And then God touched his lips with the anointing and sent him forth. A lot of people want to be sent, but they have not got to that place that God can truly release that anointing in them. And so let's see another biblical example. Let's go to Isaiah chapter 6. Isaiah chapter 6, verse 1. In the year that King Uzziah died, I saw the Lord sitting on a throne, high and lifted up, and the train of his robe filled the temple. After it stood serapim. Above it stood serapim. Each one had six wings. With two he covered his face. With two he covered his feet. With two he flew. And one cried to another and said, Holy, holy, holy is the Lord of hosts. The whole earth is full of his glory. And the posts of the door were shaken by the voice of him who cried out, and the house was filled with smoke. Verse 5, so I said, notice what he says now. Here's Isaiah, maybe one of the most righteous men in the nation. We don't know. But here he is. Suddenly, he comes into a presence of God like never before. In verse 5, so I said, woe is me, for I am undone, because I am a man of unclean lips, and I dwell in the midst of people of unclean lips. For my eyes have seen the King, the Lord of hosts. Then one of the seraphim flew to me, having in his hand a live coal, which was taken from the tongs from the altar. And he touched my mouth with it and said, behold, this has touched your lips. Your iniquity is taken away, your sin purged. Also I heard the voice of the Lord saying, who shall I send and who will go for us? Then I said, here am I, send me. So just as with Jeremiah, now with Isaiah, we see something very, very similar. Suddenly here's Isaiah, that prophet of God. And suddenly he sees the Lord high and lifted up, his train filling the temple. Hear the serpent crying, holy, 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 Lord God Almighty. And suddenly here he is. He said, Lord, woe to me. I'm a man of unclean lips. I dwell among an unclean people. Suddenly, everything that may look so pure around him looked very dirty in the very light of God. Praise God. And so the thing is, that's where God had to put him. Suddenly he felt like I'm nothing at all. And he was brought low. All pride was washed away. And God sent a serpent with a coal from the fire of the altar. It touched his lips. Then the Lord said, who shall I send? He said, send me, Lord. The thing is, always realize this, that your fire comes from the altar. Amen. The way you pray, in the altar you have made with God, the surrender you have made with God, that relationship you made with God in private is the way you will preach and minister in public. No fire in the altar, no fire in the public. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so suddenly Isaiah, as Jeremiah was also, was brought down. He said, I don't feel like I'm anything. I'm a man of unclean lips. I'm so dirty now. But God said, that's where I need you. All pride washed off, I brought you down. Now I can touch your lips with the anointing of God. Hallelujah. Amen. We need that fire of God. We need that light of God. Praise the Lamb of God. And so he went forth. I want to talk a little bit about the suddenlies of God. There are times in your life that God will bring you into what I call the suddenlies of God. Those that have been in my class heard me talk about these areas before. But just one example, I've been in that many, many times. But one example, I was in Israel. I've been there twice. We just came. We were on the Mount of Beatitudes. We read Matthew 5, the Beatitudes. We sang the songs. It was nice. It was sweet. But we got on the bus and began to start back down the mountain. One of the ladies on the bus grabbed the microphone. She was going to sing. She said about three words. When she did, the Spirit of God slammed me back in my seat. And for 45 minutes to an hour, going back to our hotel, I was weeping uncontrollably. I was speaking in tongues. You thought I was in an intercessory prayer meeting, but I was not. I was in a presence of God that I had never known existed before. Amen. That presence came on me. It has happened over and over at different times. I would not take time today to go into each one, but you need to have an experience with God, that the power of God will come upon you. And suddenly you're saying, woe to me. You're in the presence of the light of God. Hallelujah. Amen. The presence of a holy God. And you feel like I'm nothing at all. And when you get there, God said, now I can anoint you. Now I can send you. Now you'll know it's you. Not just you, but it's you and me. Amen. It's not me anymore. It's we. Amen. Christ in me, the hope of glory. Hallelujah. Praise the Lamb of God. Amen. So I was in the presence of God that I never knew existed. Amen. It's not by our works. It's by grace that we're saved. It's not by our works. It's not by our self-righteousness. It's not by all the things we can do ourselves. That's self-righteousness. I am saved. I am righteous because of the righteousness of Jesus Christ. I am covered by the blood of Jesus. Amen. It is not by might. It's not by power of a man, but by my Spirit, says the Lord of hosts. Hallelujah. Amen. We have to go down before we go up. Amen. Amen. The Bible said that pride goes before destruction and a haughty spirit before a fall. There's many people that are blocked from going into the presence of God they desire to because of pride. It's blocking them. They cannot be instructed. They cannot be told anything. They always talk the talk, but they never walk the walk. Amen. You can forget my name today, but don't forget his name. I tell people all over the world, we go into Cambodia to villages that never heard the name of Jesus one time. Amen. And say, Jesus is God. Buddha is no God. Jesus is God. Hallelujah. Preach a short message. I say, I will show you my God right now. It was in one case, we're in a village with over 1,000 Buddhists, a minefield on one side, a lake on the other side. And my wife and I were our little team. And I said, Buddha, no God, Jesus is God. They had never heard the name of Jesus one time. Preach a short message. And then I said, at the end, I said, I'm going to show you my God. And I spoke the word of God. And 120 was instantly healed. My wife and I went among them, laid hands, and 400 and something more was healed. That day, we baptized 680 in the name of the Lord Jesus. Praise God. They believed. That's what Jesus' ministry was. He prayed and fasted in the wilderness. He prayed on the mountainside with the disciples. He prayed in private. But when we stepped to the cities and villages, he worked miracles. And because of the miracles, the crowd gathered and he preached the kingdom of God. Hallelujah. Excuse me. I'm about to be losing weight up here. My wife says, oh no. One time we're in the Philippines at going to one of the big bus stops. You know, we're to get on a big bus to go to another city. We both had our hands full, and we're going to the bus. I told my wife, I said, oh, my pants are falling off. I can't do anything. My hands are full. They fell all the way down to my knees. Amen. She was so proud of me that day. Amen. But the thing is, they didn't think nothing of it. You know, it's Asia. It gets a lot worse in Asia. Don't worry. But anyway, we went on and had a great move of God anyway. Hallelujah. At least it wasn't in a church service like this. And so, even the psalmist David in Psalm 39, you don't have to go there, but verse 4, he said, Lord, make me know my end. We have to realize that our life is just like a vapor. If you look at tombstones, you see the date of birth, the date of death. That doesn't really matter much. What matters is that hyphen in the middle. What did I do for Jesus while I was here? Amen. I just turned 73 a couple days ago. Most of you know it. My best days are ahead. Amen. As soon as they lift the restriction wheels up, we're heading for the nations again. Amen. Hallelujah. Amen. But the thing is, it does not matter when I was born. It does not really matter when I die. It matters what did I do with my life in that hyphen. what really was in there, what mattered for Jesus. You know what most people spend their whole life doing, as we say down south, you may know I'm from the south, you may not notice. I tell people, they say, where are you from? I said, Southern Sargades. They look at me, I said, but Southeast Texas before that. Amen. But as we say down south, most of what people spend their life for will not amount to a hill of beans in eternity. Amen. Have you ever seen a hearse with a U-Haul hook behind it? Amen. Amen. Think about it. When God blesses us, we have a saying in our ministry. When you sow here, it goes there. Amen. We don't buy a stake with it. We don't play with it. We don't have games with it. When you sow here, it goes there. Hallelujah. Praise God. And so God is so good. And so David said, make me know my end. What is the measure of my days? You know, in other words, he wanted, if you study it out in that psalm, you'll see that David was struggling, wanted to really tell some people off really in a hard way. And he realized, God, just make me know my end, what the measure of my days is. God, let me know how frail I am so I don't feel like I'm just invincible. And I can just do anything I want to do and get away with it. Think about it. Amen. I want to spend my days for Jesus. I came to God, though at 7 years old, I was, God saved me, filled me with the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Thank you. Yeah, drink the floor water. Thank you. I sound hoarse because in my early years of preaching, I didn't know how to speak for the diaphragm about strained everything. But the thing is, at 7 years old, I was baptized in water, full immersion. God filled me with baptism of the Holy Spirit, speaking in tongues. I was not raised in church. My mother's in and out of church. But at 30 years old, I came to God. After graduating from high school, I went to Vietnam. I fought in the jungles with the infantry. Most of you know my story. Not just go on my website and read it. I'm on Sid Roth program. They did a reenactment of it. Amen. God let me live. He kept me alive. It wasn't because I was some great warrior or something. He kept me alive. But at 30 years old, I came to God. Totally bound by alcohol, had been a heavy smoker, used to rather fight than eat. Now I'd rather eat than fight. I'm too old to fight. I'm too fat to run. I'm in trouble. Amen. But God saved me. Shortly after saving me, he called me to preach. He showed me in a vision that I would go back into Asia, into Vietnam, and preach the gospel. The time from the vision to my foot set down on the heart-killing ground again was 17 years. But I held on to what God said, confessed to the people I could trust, and said, I will preach in Vietnam. I've been back 22 times working with the underground church since then. Hallelujah. I've been caught 4 times by communist police. My precious wife was wrestling with me the second time. And amen, we have an exciting life. But God is so good. I just was back there last November again. Mighty moves of God. Signs, wonders, and miracles. And let me say, we see the same amount, percent of miracles in the U.S. as we do overseas. Don't ever come tell me, oh, I wish it happened here like it does. Christians have been trained to say that stuff, and it kills their faith. Jesus Christ, I read in my Bible, is the same yesterday, today, forever. Everything he ever was, he is right now. Hallelujah. Amen. And for the last about 9 years, we've averaged 98% instant miracles. Every time I preach on healing, both overseas and U.S. churches, totally. And many times it's 100% of everyone that comes up receives instant miracles. It's not me. I can't do it. But I know who does. Amen. I know who went to the cross. Hallelujah. Praise God. My faith is in him. It's just something he started doing. But if you study your Bible out, we don't know all the miracles that Jesus did. And they're not all recorded. The Bible tells us they're not all recorded. But of the ones that are recorded, if you'll study it out, about 98% was instant miracles, and a few were divine healing, like the lepers when he went back to the priest. The man went to wash at the pool. It was a gradual divine. It was not instant, but most was instant. We're only doing what he did. He said, the works I do, you shall do, and greater works than these shall you do. That's where we're teaching a school of the supernatural. We want to impart to you to go out, not just in the building, but in Walmart, the nursing homes. Amen. Out in the malls. Amen. They say it's a little bit open now. I don't know. Amen. But you have to do it. We were in one of the nursing homes some time back. My wife had already took our vehicle. I was walking out a little bit behind her, and a lady with a crippled hip walking in front of me. I felt a thump of the spirit. I ran up. I said, "Ma'am, if you'll let me pray for you, Jesus will heal you." I didn't say, "If you'll let me pray for you, he might heal you." No, I didn't say that. I said, "If you'll let me pray for you, Jesus will heal you." She said, "What?" I repeated it. She said, "Okay." Most of my wife, we got a live one. But my wife come, and she was instantly healed in the parking lot. Amen. We've had checkers at Walmart checking us out, get healed because we pray for them. Amen. I have a lady at MoneyGram. I use another thing to send funds overseas now, a lot easier. But at MoneyGram at Walmart, the service counter, she's had whole crowds there. She said, "If anybody here needs a healing, that's a pastor. He'll pray for you right here." And amen. She's visited here a couple of times, but she don't really go anywhere. Amen. But she's telling them that she was in line one time. We healed one of the checkers. The checker said, "Man, I got a horrible headache." She was in line off duty. I said, "What should we do?" She said, "Well, pray for her." Bam, she was healed. Amen. I enjoy myself. Amen. It's not dead, dull, and boring. Hallelujah. And so we're training people to work in the supernatural. But we're also training to realize you've got to get to the end of yourself. There's many that wants this, but they're too proud to say, I need some more instruction. I need somebody to pray for me. You know, they'll come up to me and say, "Man, I want this. I want this." Come get it, you know. But pride is holding them back. My wife and I, we've seen over 12,000 miracles. It's very conservative. Amen. I've been caught up several times in the third heaven, many times in the spirit realm, places in the spirit. I've been translated, transported. I've been to hell of Luke 16. God brought me in there. My warring angel gave me a little tour so that I could tell you it's really real. They're out there preaching no heaven or no hell. I've been to both. They are real. Amen. And as a tree falls, that shall it lie. Amen. Don't get me in that right now. Praise God. But the thing I want to tell you, the more that we see, the smaller we feel. Because if he don't do it, it won't happen. How can someone get lifted up because of what they see, miracles? Every time I see it, I feel smart. I know that if Jesus didn't do this, yes, I'm the conduit. I'm the pipe. But he's the living water. And the more we see, the smaller we feel. Amen. People get all excited about it, but we really feel very, I mean, very honest, very small. That I know without him, I could do nothing. Praise God. Let's read a moment in 2 Timothy 2, verse 3 and 4. I'll read it to you if you like. "You therefore must endure hardship as a good soldier of Jesus Christ. No one engaged in warfare entangles himself with the affairs of this life, that he may please him who enlisted him as a soldier." Hey, I've been a soldier in man's army. Man, we went to basic training, infantry training, and just in a short time, we're in the jungles of Vietnam. My friend John fought in the jungles of Vietnam also. He came to God in our church years ago, been serving God ever since, and maybe others of you in here have been in different wars. But when we got in real war, I wish we'd had more training. It was hard. We lived like animals. But the thing is, in the kingdom of God, we've got to train like a soldier. We got to be able to move some things out of the way. We've got something to do out there, and we don't want to just go there and make a lot of noise. We want to demonstrate Jesus, show them Jesus. You've got to lift Jesus off the ink and the pages of this book, this Bible. Present to them a living Savior. We see in Jesus' ministry, when John the Baptist was in prison, he sent disciples to Jesus. He began to doubt a little bit. But he said, "Ask Jesus, are you the one, or should we look for another?" You know what Jesus did? He turned around and worked some of the miracles that prophesied of the Messiah in the Old Testament. Boom, boom, boom. He turned back around and said, now go tell John what you saw. If someone came into our city and went to one of our many motels, we're getting hotels. I work overseas at all hotels. We have motels here too. But anyway, if they never knew anything about the Lord, and they opened and found a Gideon Bible, and they opened and read Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, the book of Acts, and they came walking in the back door of our church and said, are you the body of Christ, or should I look for another? Yeah, I got plenty of business cards in my pocket. We have a sign. That's great. Nothing wrong with it. But now what I'm going to show, what am I going to demonstrate? Amen? They don't need a religious story. See, I'm not religious. I have a relationship with Jesus. Big difference. Real big difference. Amen. And we believe in being faithful. Man, I'm here. Ever since we stopped pastoring ourselves after 33 years, God told me to stop. We came right over here, been faithful ever since, backing them up financially, physically, every way we can, standing with the man of God. I believe in that. You've been in my school of supernatural. I teach you how to work under authority. You'll never be a man of a woman of authority if you don't know how to be under authority. Amen. Praise God. And so let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 9 a moment. I got lots of time. You can have a meal and then start back. No. 1 Corinthians chapter 9. Verse 26 and 27. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. Thus I fight, not as one who beats the air. But I discipline my body and bring into subjection, lest when I preach to others, I myself may become disqualified. Now, let me say something. We all look very good shadow boxing in the mirror. You know, we can bounce around and, man, do all the moves and punches and stuff and, amen. And my wife knows I was in law enforcement right 6 years before where I was when God saved me. And I was just still fighting the Vietnam War on the streets of Beaumont, Texas, city 120,000 about at that time, about 70 miles from Houston. But I come back beat up, concussions, tore up, blood all over me, happy as I could be. Amen. But we can all look good, you know, boxing in the mirror. But when we get on the real battlefield, what do we have? And Paul said, I'm not doing it like a man beating the air. That's what he's saying, shadow boxing in our language. He said, man, when I swing, I hit something. When I speak, things happen. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let me read real quickly to you Philippians 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Paul said, what things I counted gain to me, I have counted loss for Christ. Let me ask you, is there anything you won't lay down for Jesus? I'm going to share a very personal story with you, but I want you to listen in lieu of that scripture. Is there anything? He said, Paul said, I count everything lost. You know the earlier teaching, man, I was a Pharisee of the Pharisees, a Jew of the Jews. I did all this. And man, I was highly acclaimed and stuff. And amen. Even my wife and myself, when we came to God, we were a very legalistic group. But God, when he was ready, he revealed to us, delivered us out of it. Amen. When I walked away and resigned, a very kind letter, myself and all the ministers under me, licensed, ordained with them. Amen. When I did that, I lost about 300 or 400 what I thought was friends that even today would think I'm not saved. But that's okay. I counted all loss for Christ. I had to follow after him. But I used to be studying the Bible in my early years of ministry. I read about the miracles. I could quote the scriptures backwards and forwards just about. Amen. And I'd preach it and I'd pray and usually nothing happened. I'd preach and pray and once in a while somebody got healed. But nothing consistent. So we begin to fast heavy, pray and fast. 2 weeks, 3 week fast, 30-day fast, 40-day fast. Two of them I ended up on mountains, one on Plateau Mountain, one just off of Wittenberg. We call it Blackberry. Some people call it other things. Finish it up the last part of fast by myself praying in the mountain. Hungry for a move of God. so hungry to move God. But there's times, I want to tell you, that I was getting closer and closer to God. I don't have a wall handy, so that's okay. I don't get too many wires. I'm old. No, I'm kidding. But anyway, it like I hit a wall. I was wanting to go deeper. Rich, I know you understand this. I wanted to go deeper in God, and I kept hitting this wall. I need a wall. Amen. It'd be easier than jumping wires. But I get close. I mean, deep in prayer. I mean, really deep in prayer. I hit that wall. I couldn't go any further. Day later, I'm praying, getting deeper and deeper. And I kept hitting that wall. I could not go because that wall was between me and what God had. And then God told me what the wall was. He said, David, I want you to give me your family. I'm not talking about this little chalice of, oh, yes, we dedicate our family, all my children are serving God today. One is preaching all over the world like we are. Signs, wonders, miracles, thank God for that. The other drummer at Hudson at Jerome's church. My daughter's got a prophetic gift, and she goes there also. Amen. All my children serving God. But the thing is, God said, I want your family. And several times when he said that, I backed off that wall. I'm being honest. Because I'm not talking about a little shallow, so, oh, yeah, Lord, yeah. No, I'm talking about so deep in the spirit. I've been so deep in the spirit at times and so just hurt by people and working with things of God. They told me one time, I'll get back to this other story, but he said, David, if you want to come home tonight, I'll bring you home tonight. I don't know how to do it, but I could have said, yes, Lord, and I would never return to my house. I've been in heaven with him. He gave me a choice so deep that you know it's going to happen. This is how deep I was with this. God said, I want your family. Every time I hit the wall, backed off, I couldn't do it. Then finally one night, and I knew when I said yes, that if God chose that very next day to take my wife and my three children that I love dearly from me, in whatever means, that I was going to have to serve God with all my heart, regardless. And finally one night, I said, God, they're yours. God, they're yours. And I began to grow in the spirit realm. Today, what do you have between you and God? There's actually ways of heat going through here right now. Amen. This is very serious. What separates you from God? What's too important to let go of? Some people, it's their money. It's their house. The nice car. Oh, God, I could do that. Amen. A pastor I knew in Houston, they finally had to start, when they give him a car, had to keep it in somebody else's name because they give them all away. They give him a fancy new car. Talking about Pastor James Kilgore, he's gone with God, his son pastor there now. We used to call him Jimbo in Bible college. But the thing is, what is it? Is it your family? If God took everything dear to you away, it's just you and God. Would you continue to serve him? I've heard people of God say, if something happens to one of my family, I'm leaving the church, I'm leaving this area, I'm just taking off. That's not the answer. Every time our heart has been broken, we pastored for 33 years, pulled people off of drugs and alcohol, illicit sexual relationships, get them in the kingdom of God, baptized, filled with the Holy Ghost, talking in tongues. Amen. And suddenly they turn around and put a knife in our back. It break our heart. But every time they broke our heart, you know what happened? I began to pray and fast more. I poured it out to God. And when I finally stood up, I had an anointing as never before. I don't understand it all. But if you study even not only in the Bible, but also history of men and women, mighty use of God, most of them have known great pain in life. I don't understand it all. But in my own heart, I feel like they almost have a capacity in their human spirit for the things of God that someone that's had it easy all the time just don't understand. Amen. Galatians 2:20 says, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live, but yet not I, but Christ lives in me. In the life which I now live, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. I am crucified with Christ. Amen. God, if you want to take me home, take me. I said, Lord, I want to work for you till you're through with me. Get me out of here. I don't want to be in a nursing home getting a diaper changed. Just get me on out of here. They probably get tired of me preaching to them. Amen. I want to share something. When I was in Bible college, see, I didn't come to God until I was 30 years old as an adult. Worked 3 years in a home church. We started bus ministry, led service. I taught the teenage Sunday school class. They knew more than I did. Had to study all week just to hold my own. Seriously. And I was a new convert. Then at 33, my wife, three little children, headed for Houston, Texas, to Bible college. I went to Bible college, worked full-time, preached a lot on weekends, taught Bible studies during the week, won souls at work. Amen. And in my English class, I'd had some regular college with regular English. I didn't realize I didn't have to take English again in Bible college, but I took it because nobody told me. I found it years later after I graduated. But I had to write an article, and I wrote one from my heart. I just kind of paraphrased. It's called Plain Vessel. I said, God, I don't want to be one of those fancy vessels up on the shelf. It's only taken down on special occasions, holidays. I just want to be one of those plain vessels that people use every day. Lord, I want to be used to carry what you give me to them. And God, at the end of the day, take me to that sink and wash me and check under the light, see if there's any cracks in me that hold back tears that could poison someone else. That's just a little short version of it. They even published in some Texas papers, magazines in Texas, the whole article. But that's still my cry. I just want to be a plain vessel that God can use me. Amen. I know what my title is in the fivefold ministry. You don't hear me speak it a whole lot. But that don't matter to me. I just want to do that work. I just want to do that work. Amen. And so, where is the mighty army of God, soldiers of the cross, that will lay down their life for a cause? One time, my wife and I were walking down a sidewalk in Phnom Penh, Cambodia. Been there 22 times, too. You know, we've even been 3 times to child prostitute villages. One time, prayed for an ex-madam there that lost 2 of her sons with AIDS by raising them in a brothel. And a lot of wickedness there. We're walking down the sidewalk, and God told me so plain. He said, David, are you willing to die for these people? Without a hesitation, I mean, I'm talking about deep in the spirit again. I said, yes, Lord. I didn't find out that much later, my wife told me that at the same time, God asked her the same question. That does not mean we're going to die in Cambodia, but it means I better be willing to. Amen? Because we go way out, you know, places that the big American shouldn't be, probably. The first 4 times I went in there, so fight Khmer Rouge, there's areas I can go now, I could not go. Government hospital is full of soldiers wounded. Amen. But the thing is, you have to be willing. Are you willing to lay down your life, really? See, us has been in combat in jungles. We know what it's like to say we're willing to lay down our life. We know what it's like to get out of our cover and run and grab a wounded friend and drag him back in to say, we know what it's like. This is not some hypothetical thing on a TV show. Amen. It's a real thing. We know what it's like. Amen. Or are you willing to give your life? Are you willing to say, Lord, I would not even let my family stand? You know how much you love your family? But you need to love God more. And most people don't. Because of that, there's some depths of the spirit they'll never walk in. They may see it, they may hear about it, but they'll never walk in it until they surrender all. That song they sang a while ago, where there's somebody that can do that. I don't think all the musicians are gone. That one I see? I think I found one. Should have stuck your head up, sister. I still got jungle eyes. I see things in the woods nobody else sees. Look at that. You know, I'm used to seeing people creeping around. You know what I mean, John? Amen. But they sang that song, "As Well My Soul." And I thought, how good could this be? Because some of you may know the story of it, but as a man, I'd have to look it back up, get all the details. But he lost some of his family in the ocean. And years later, the story says that he returned to that area on another ship. And looking out where he lost his children and his wife, he began to sing that song. Can you sing that song? What I would like to do, and at the end of this, and we're real early. I mean, I'm ashamed of myself. Not really. Amen. But what I would like to do, and anybody had an individual need, we'll pray for you after all this, not during it. And if it hits 12 and we're not through, just go ahead and be dismissed. It's okay. Amen. I'd rather dismiss you than Jesus. Amen. Praise God. I'm serious. I can't help myself, Rich. Amen. Brother Lou down there, he knows what I'm talking about. Amen. But I would like everyone that would to come up to this altar area as a surrender to the Lord. And if you can sing that song, and whoever else you can get up, I don't care, the whole crew, it is well with my soul. And think about, can you let go of everything in your life and say, it's well with my soul? And say, I'm going to serve God with all my heart to my dying breath. Lord, if you take my whole family away from me, a knock comes on the door, they all got killed in a car accident. It is well with my soul. Let's stand together. I'd like everyone that wants to just pray a prayer of surrender, I want you to just come up. Let's pray together. At the end of this, we'll pray individual needs, whatever you need. I know I hadn't preached a healing service, but we can get you healed, no problem. You get healed in a parking lot and get healed in a church probably. Praise God, I hope so. But just begin to sing this song with us. Can you all just start singing that, please, just with everything in it? Oh, yes. And the title of this message is The Cost of Being Sent. The Cost of Being Sent. For those up in PA world, The Cost of Being Sent. You want to be sent, it's going to cost you something. You have to lay down some things. Thank you, Lord.